Well, we've been looking, we're still in the things we had talked about, the keys to the move of God, and still in it, one of the things we began to talk about is covenant. This is important to understand, especially we know as Christians, we have to walk by faith. So it doesn't matter to us. We could find out what God wants to do, but are we really in faith responding to Him for Him to be able to do it? You know, it doesn't matter how much knowledge that you have. It's the faith that you have in the knowledge of God that's going to determine. Now, and I shouldn't say this, well, not faith in itself, but you're going to have to act on that, what you believe. You're going to have to act on it. But it all starts in the areas of faith. Many people, you can go along with them, ask them questions about God and about the Word, and they'll know what to do, but they really don't have faith in it at all. There's not faith in it, and we know faith is what pleases God. Now, you can't have faith without knowledge, so you do want to gain knowledge. Faith comes by hearing the Word. You don't have it just because it comes. You know, something comes. You know, somebody can come to your door, but don't mean you let them in. Well, faith's just like that. Faith will come to you, but you may not receive it. You may not receive it. People sit in and listen to things, whether it is in a church meeting or whatever else they might be, or listening TV, maybe on the radio or anything like that online. You may hear something. You may even think it's really good and it might speak to you, but that has nothing to do whether you're going to walk in faith with it. You have to receive that as true, and then truth is something that must be acted on. Truth not acted on, don't tell people you believe it's true, because you won't act on it. There's a good chance you don't have any confidence in it. So truth, it's a very important thing. And this is why we need to, if we understand, we need a knowledge about covenant. What God says, will it be carried out? Would He do it? You have to be sold on that. Doesn't matter what God says, that if you're not sure that He would carry it out, well, then you're in a place, you're in a position of unbelief. I would be in unbelief if I'm not sure about it. I'm not sure that I can act on the Word of God if I could do that. So this is why we're dealing with the areas of covenant. Covenants had to do, especially, we don't do as much today. As one thing is, our society is very poor. I mean, we are in the areas of just contracts. You know, you people write out a contract for something and people don't keep the contract. I mean, that today in our society, that almost means nothing. In fact, the laws will protect people from not fulfilling their contract. You know, well, this person's having a tough time, so they don't have to fulfill their contract. And so they'll do these things. And I mean, we have these things. That what it comes down to this is people's words are no good.
That's right.
Now, you need to understand this about yourself. Is your word really good? Do you always keep your word? Do you? Because this is one of the things, knowing God. I've learned this about God. God always keeps His word. Always. He never goes back on it. So if there would be a problem between me and God, it would probably be on my side, because I know He would always keep His word. So if I have a problem in the areas of faith, it's always on my side. It's never on His side. Amen. And those are one of the things that I got convinced about early as a Christian, that if I just decided, in fact, well, we talk about God is perfect, but it's mostly talk. We really don't believe in any being perfect. And it's because of our lack of knowledge of God and our lack of knowledge from the standpoint of even receiving that is true. If God's perfect, then His word must always be true. It must always be correct, or He's not perfect. And you must be settled in that. Is His word, when He says something, will He carry it out? Well, if He doesn't, well, then He's a liar. He's just like the devil. He can't come up with things and then say, like as people say, well, God can do whatever He wants. No, He can't. He can't lie. God's not a man that He could lie, it says. So what He says is true. Now, sometimes we get into this place, we have a limited knowledge, and so we think God says a certain thing, but He didn't say that. We know a part of what He said. It's finding out what He did. But God is always operating in the areas of truth. It's always the truth. And this is your security in faith. If you don't believe, you know, you can trust the Word of God, well, then you're always going to have a faith problem. Always. Because faith is based on God's Word being true. Now, see, we have two books in our Bible, and they're called the Old Covenant and the New Covenant. Now, we use that term Old Covenant, New Covenant. We say Old Testament, New Testament. Well, what those words meant in the days that they were written, people don't view them as today. I mean, nobody would ever use the term an Old Covenant and a New Covenant and then question the Bible's letters. Is this thing really, is it the truth or not? Well, hold on, then it's not a covenant. Because then people don't understand what it's all about. These are covenants God made. You didn't make them. Thank God. Because if you'd have made them, they'd have been worthless. We'd have made those covenants. Why? God's covenants are not based on man. They're based on God's integrity. Who He is. Now, He invited us into this covenant. These covenants are wonderful covenants. If we look at God's expectation, I mean, when the Bible says that God is good and His mercy endures forever, sure it is. His covenants are full of mercy. Because man did a poor job of trying to live up to them. Now, we have an interest. When we talk about the Old Testament and we say the Old Covenant, actually, The book of Genesis is not really in the Old Covenant. It's not the Old Covenant. The Old Covenant really didn't start till God made. Now, God made covenants with people, but that we are in the covenant of blessing of Abraham, which was in the beginning. He's called the father of our faith. So He's the father of New Testament faith. So God's promises to him stand concerning me and you. See, most Christians don't think about that, or they don't. So in other words, God and His doing with him, Abraham was under a covenant of blessing. It wasn't law. It wasn't based upon performance. It was based upon his faith in God's performance, what he would believe God would do. See, he believed God. He was an old man, and he believed God said, you know, Sarah's going to have a baby, and he believed God would do it. You know? He's a guy, you know, and he's old and she's old. And he said, well, our bodies are as good as dead. But he believed God because God said he could do it. So, in other words, it was based on promise. God considered him righteous based upon his faith. And it's exactly the same for us. Under the law was based upon performance. When we look at Deuteronomy 28, Deuteronomy 28 was this. If you keep all, you do all the things that are written in this book and you do all this stuff, that's not our covenant. Our covenant doesn't do that. Our covenant is based upon faith on God's performance. Faith is based on what God can do, not my perfection, on His perfection. See, you have the righteousness of God. Well, you couldn't have earned that. You were never perfect and never will be from the standpoint as you live here in this earth. You will never be perfect. When we get to heaven, we will not be perfect. We'll still be learning. God knows everything. He don't learn a new thing. Our God knows everything. He knows the end from the beginning. Is to say, really, if we got down to it, He has no end and He has no beginning. We do. So that's speaking of us from the end from the beginning. He's a self-existing one. We exist because of Him. Mm-hmm. So this being gave us His righteousness based on faith. His righteousness, we have, the Bible says, we got the gift of righteousness. That's what we have. It's a gift given to us. Why? By faith. Could have been by performance. As you and I are born again. When Paul wrote about, we look through a glass dimly or looking in a mirror dimly, we're looking at that. In other words, with ourselves, we don't know everything. So we can't do everything perfectly. We can't. We walk in the light that we have, and as we gain light, we walk a little bit better. But our righteousness is based on perfection. But it's not ours. So I can go to God. I can pray and I can ask God to help me based on a righteousness that's given to me that's perfect. Do you understand that? Mm-hmm. See, you know why people have trouble with faith? Because they keep going to God on their own righteousness. They keep going and asking God on the basis. That's why people beg God to do things and are always trying to. I'm sorry. I don't ask. I ask by faith. I can ask God as if I'm as righteous as He is. In other words, righteousness means that you're right. Therefore, I can always approach God based on I'm right. See, that's a phenomenal thing. This is what faith does. This is why legalism, when we ever go, for some reason, man is always drawn to legalism. They always try to get over, turn religion of faith into works. Now, you and I want to have good works. We are rewarded on the basis of good works. But you can't be ever righteous by works. You can't go to God. This is why people have trouble getting answers to prayer. When they think they do real good, then they're real confident before God. You think God don't know that? That you're coming to Him based on you think you're okay, you're all right? See, He knows you're not using faith. He knows. He knows that. He knows you're thinking, I'm coming on my performance. What does He love? He loves it when you and I come and say, you know, I'm not going to try. I'm coming here because you made me righteous through faith in Christ. That's why I'm here. That's why I can come boldly to the throne of your grace. I can't approach this. I can't have your grace without operating in faith. If there's grace to help me, I have to have faith to get it for help. You don't get it just because grace doesn't come to you just because it's there. Faith is always a response. So it's based upon covenant that God made. And see, we need to get that and get that on thing. That's why we used the scripture from Galatians 3:13 and 14 last week, and I'll read it again. Galatians 3:13 and 14 says, "Now Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us, for it is written, 'Cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree.' Why? That the blessing of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles in Christ Jesus, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith." See, faith is always the basis of this thing. It's always by faith. We have been redeemed from the curse. Israel never had a redemption from the curse. Go back and read in Deuteronomy 28 in the opening. You got to do all these things and all this law. If you do all this stuff, then these blessings will come. Now, if you don't do it all, there's 10 million more curses than there are blessings. So, you know, this is what happens. And so we need to understand this is what the difference in. And it isn't under the law. There's people under the law who understood faith. You can always approach God by faith. Because I tell you, that's one thing as I always admired about David. David understood. Now, here's a guy living under law, but he understood about faith. He understood approaching God not by the law. Because if it was, David would have been put to death for the things he did. But he understood how to come by faith. He wouldn't come to God on his righteousness. He'd come to God based on God's righteousness. He'd come finally on God's word. David was a man that God could covenant with. God will make covenant things with every person if they will allow Him to. God's covenanted with me on things already. Let's talk to Him about things about, because you walk alone by faith, and what it is, see, you need to understand, if people who understand how to walk by faith, God can covenant with them. He doesn't make them through law anymore. He doesn't do that. He's not making covenants of law. If you do everything and, you know, you jump through all the hoops and that, I'll do this for you, ain't much of a covenant. You'll never get anywhere. You'll mess up. There it goes, out the window. He does it. It's by faith. And the more he sees that people can operate by faith, the more he can personally get involved with you concerning covenant. That's what you want to learn. I learned that early, and thank God it wasn't because I was a genius. I just listened to Kenneth Hagin's teachings on faith, and I listened to hundreds and hundreds of hours. I'd listen to tapes. I'd study the Bible. I'd go in the Word, and I'd tell it. You know, you learn about faith. And as the more I learned how to respond to God in prayer. I learned how to, if I talked to Him, I talked in His language. He talks faith. He's not talking law. He's not talking the rules of men and the men's setup. And approaching by God, I learned this, that if I mess up, I can come boldly to the throne of grace. And it's not, you don't hide out, you don't stay away from Him. Oh, I gotta get, if I can just get this right, if I can just, then God will do, then if I can just, You get that kind of thinking in yourself, and you'll start yourself a really good religion that'll turn around and kill, steal, and destroy. That's, I mean, it's all it does. It just robs. You can never get that stuff to work. The more you can walk by faith, the more you can do the will of God. Because God's grace comes to you through faith. It don't come to you through works. If I get my works real good, God will respond to me. No, God will respond to me because I can get my faith working real good. And the better I get my faith, I can hook into His grace, His power, to help me walk better. That's how it's done. See, we're turning it exactly around. We're trying to have the works first. It's not how it goes. Religion. Religious, you know, groups. That's what they always are. The works are always first. I was born and raised in a church where the works were always first. Don't matter how good you were, you had to dress a certain way, wear a certain kind of thing, drive certain kind of cars, doing this kind of thing. Those were the things. I'll tell you what, you could do all kind of stuff of doing good, but if you didn't wear the right suit, they'd let you know. You know, you had too flashy of a tie or something, or you did something, you know, those kind of things. That was the baseline of it. You know, people were doing, you'd realize they would do things to each other and say things about each other that were terrible. Nobody said nothing about it. But if you broke one of their dress codes or you did some of their stuff, then it was like, this is terrible. This is horrible. You weren't allowed to do that. That's based in law. One of the things that I really understood as I came along, they didn't understand covenant. They had books of the Bible they said about the old covenant, new covenant. They had no idea what it meant. Well, this is what God wants. Well, I don't see it that way. A covenant's not what God wants. Covenant's agreement. And the agreements that we have with this are things concerning God and man. In other words, really, God's covenant is about man and God working together. That's what God, His side, that He wants, but also majority of God's covenant with us is what He wants to do for us. It's the majority of it. I mean, I don't care how well I do. How much do I have to offer God? You know, the best thing that really I can ever offer God is my faith and obedience. That's it. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's all I can. Well, I can't offer the power to do that. I can't even offer the power to have faith. It comes by His Word. I mean, He gives us His Word even to have the faith. And then He gives us grace to help us be obedient. So, it is about what He does for us. But there's one thing that we have to have that we need to do, and that have respect for Him in this covenant. Most of Christianity does not have any respect for God. He's nothing but a Santa Claus. He comes and helps me when I get in trouble of doing the things, and I usually ignore Him most of the time until I need something or want help. You ever notice people do that? A tragedy comes in their life and all of a sudden, oh, my God, oh, let's pray and this and that. Yeah, you never prayed about any of the other stuff you were messed up in. And it wasn't interest. And you know, a baby, you get away with that. But you don't get away, you keep that stuff up. You don't get away with it. Why? You can't keep breaking covenant and it work out for you. Can't keep breaking covenant. It's like I learned this early. I remember Kenneth Hagin saying this when I was just a baby Christian. He said, if your word's no good, your faith won't work. Because he said, you won't believe things that you'll say. You're saying, well, I'm believing this and that. And this one thing is learning the fact of keeping your word, being a person of your word. This is one of the things I found out. I was really fortunate from the standpoint. I had a dad who was really a man of his word. If he said it, you know, he was going to do it. You know, my dad said, you do that again, you're going to get whooped. Mm-hmm. I mean, you could guarantee that like a sun coming up in the morning. He didn't talk to you or say nothing about it. He didn't say it again. Why? It would have made him a liar. See, many Christians are liars. They say something and then they turn around and don't do it and make the statement again. Yeah, now you're a liar. See, I learned, you don't do that. Mm-hmm. You don't do those things. Why? It hurts your faith. It don't hurt God. God's doing fine. It hurts our faith. It hurts us. God doesn't do this. He's mean to us. He wants to bless you. He wants your words to come to pass. He wants the words that you say to happen. The things that you want, He wants you to be able to say them, and they will come to pass. That's what He desires. And it's really becoming good at that. I found out people who have trouble in faith, with faith, is people who have trouble with their word. That's what that's the basics, the foundation of it. They have trouble with their word. And so, I found this out. The more you study the covenant, the more you study how God is, the more you see that this, God doesn't break his word. His word is learning that. So we all have a father whose word is always good. So when he says it, so one of the things that really helped me is I'd say God's word's true from the time I was a young Christian. God's word's true. Don't matter what I think or what I say, it doesn't matter. God, what God said's the truth. I don't care what I see going on. I don't care what I see happening. I don't care what other people say about it. God's word is true. It's true. If any ways that you think, well, it might not be or it doesn't work or something, anything like that, well, then therefore you're going to have trouble with faith because you're not going to be able to believe. You're going to decide. It's like today, you know, when Paul wrote to the church of Galatia and told them that you have another gospel. You believe another gospel. You have another Jesus. They had made a Jesus not according to the word that they were taught. He told them, you know, you guys were taught this, but you're over here believing this. See, you have a belief. In other words, people make up their own Christianity. They take parts of the Bible that they like or something. Yeah, but this over here, we don't like this part or we don't like that part. And so, you know, this doesn't seem right. It's because this is where it comes down to is people try to reason the word of God by their mental thinking. So what do you do? Well, that he couldn't really meant that. You know, it's effective. Speak unto this mountain. And I heard ministers say it's the other. He's not talking about speaking to a real mountain. He's talking about speaking to the mountains in your life. And I found this. The people that believe that can't get the mountains in their life to move. What do? They minimize the power of the words that Jesus said. And they are covenant words. They are words of how the kingdom works. So, I mean, always get yourself on that. Now, if he said something, I don't care how extremes it sound. When it says all things are possible to him that believeth, that's a true statement. And I've said before, I don't know anybody that ever believes that to its totality. Or we'd sure be walking on a higher level than we are. But see, people put those things out there and they're nice to say, but we have to admit, look, I'd say, that is true, but my belief don't add up to that truth. Well, see, I can't go there till I start saying, you know, instead of just trying to make it as a neat saying. That's what it, lots of times it is to people. It's a neat saying. You know, God knows everything. Well, if he knows everything and you really believe that, that'd change a lot of what we do, wouldn't it? I remember a guy was telling Kenneth Hagin one time. Kenneth Hagin told a story I thought was really funny. Because a guy came to him and was telling him about, well, God can do anything. And he said, yeah, God can do anything. Oh, yes, God can do anything. He just does anything. Can he? And he said, yeah, you know, God can just do anything. He can do anything. He can. Well, Kenneth Hagin didn't know this. God gave him a word of knowledge about this guy who didn't tithe. And he said, well, if God can do anything, why don't he make you tithe? He said, the guy got real quiet and walked away. God doesn't. See, that type of thinking is weird. Because when people say God can do anything, what do you mean? What are you classifying that into? You know? See, we have a lot of religious sayings that actually hurt our faith. Saying God can do anything. You know, God has set up a system and a covenant in this earth, how it works, and it's governed. The laws of that covenant govern what God does. And you know what? He changes not. He's never a covenant breaker. Never. So he will not change. So what I need to find, when I find out what's in the covenant, I know he will keep that. The things that he will do. He asked me to do his will. I know this. He has given grace, so therefore he will give me ability to do his will. He'll give me ability to do that. Now what I need to know is I need to walk in faith and how to receive that ability. How do I get it? How do I let that ability work in me? See, that's all, that's from my side. That's what I have to do. See, he supplied it. I got to receive it. Our faith is for this purpose, so you can receive from God. You couldn't get saved any other way but by faith. See, it doesn't matter all that the covenant offers. We must be able to receive it. One of the problems we deal with is we don't deal that the covenant is true, that the covenant is given. Is Jesus Christ is the fulfillment of the covenant. He's the fulfillment of it. Look at the standpoint, if we go over to Matthew, the 5th chapter. We're going to look at Jesus because of covenant. Now, we said about, we're redeemed from the curse of the law. Back in Genesis, when man sinned, God gave man one command. You don't eat of that tree. That's the one command. In other words, they had one thing that they knew that if they did wrong, it was what God said you don't do. That was the only thing from covenant that they had. Just one. So, you know, if it gives you 100 laws, would that work? One. But what did they do? When they broke that law, the curse came on what God gave them. God had given Adam dominion over the earth, and the curse came on that dominion. Satan had the right to curse everything that Adam was given. And he did, didn't he?
Yeah.
You know, 1800 years later, the flood comes. See, the curse was dominating and ruling. The curse was ruling and reigning. Why? Because this operation over here, God said, don't do that one thing. Why? He said, because what happened was, the curse came. Now, when the law came, it almost seems the curse was amplified because God gave them knowledge of what he didn't like. The law is this, the Bible tells it, it's the knowledge of sin. So when people say, well, I don't believe this is wrong or that wrong, I'm sorry. You're going to live under a curse. If the Bible said it, you're responsible to go find out what causes curse. The Bible tells us the things that cause curse. So man's under this thing of this curse. This is what it comes. So God sets up. Now we think, oh, it's so terrible that, you know, God, well, God gave the law. Now man has the knowledge of sin and things are getting worse and that stuff. But you know what? Man, God wanted to bring salvation to man. You need to know and understand what pleases God and what don't. The Bible says the law is the schoolmaster to bring you to Christ. The law will teach you this. You can't please God. You cannot possibly please God and walk with him just following rules and regulations. You know what you and I needed? We needed a Savior. We were in a terrible dilemma. And this is one thing Israel didn't come into the knowledge of, and they should have. After all the years of the curse falling on them and all the trouble they went through as a nation, and even today, haven't they figured out the law ain't working for them? You can't keep it. I need a Savior. Think about Job. Job recognized that himself. Job coming before God. You know, hey, I'm not perfect. Stand before you. Job, and actually his idea was this, is he said he needed an umpire, somebody to stand between him and God. See, Jesus was our umpire. He stood between us and God. See, we need a Savior. See, when we talk about Jesus, people today have no idea of sin. The Bible tells you what sin is, and you need saved from it, because without faith, you're judged in all the law, as if you broke all the law. Jesus said, you break it in one area, you broke it in all. It's broken in the whole thing. See, you needed a Savior. I needed a Savior. There's no way I could save myself. So there was no way I could save myself by keeping the laws and rules. What I need is have somebody who would save me so I didn't have to face the judgment because of what that individual did, that Savior. And that was Jesus. Now in Matthew, the 5th chapter in verse 17, Jesus said this. He said, verse 17, do not think that I came to destroy the law and the prophets. I did not come to destroy, but to fulfill. A Savior had to do this. A Savior had to be able to fulfill the law. God gave his requirements, and a Savior had to be able to do this. This was God's great wisdom. no way that any other man could have ever come along and saved, because no other man could ever keep the law. This is why we have what God brought into the earth, what the Bible says this, that God brought the second Adam. That was Jesus Christ. He's the second Adam. In other words, this is round two. God brought one into the earth who was very much a man without sin, just like Adam was, without sin. But he was brought into this earth under the law. He had to have one who could fulfill the law, could live without sinning. Understand this about Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ never sinned. You know, there's not many religious groups actually believe that. They have all kind of things, out here, and beliefs and stuff that people have and in groups have about. Jesus came along. Jesus never sinned. Now, if you went out and went to a place and made a whip and ran people out of a place, they'd say, oh, you sinned. Jesus did it, and you didn't sin. Why? He didn't do it because of hatred of himself. No. Jesus rebuked people. Jesus, see, we live in a place today, we have no knowledge of what, we're so limited in our thinking. We have a love that's been created by the world, Amen. And the church follows it. They don't read enough about the Bible to know Amen. God has it. No one, and this is what we have today, people believe that nobody's going to go to hell. Why? Because of the love that is taught in the church. If you really love, you never punish anybody. You know, it's funny, you know, we have the guy that was just assassinated. His wife gets up, you know, and she's saying, and she said, I forgive him. They ask her about him being put to death, and she said, I don't know if I can go along with that or not. Well, you ought to read your Bible. The Bible says that God gave the government the right to use the sword. If the government wants to put him to death, she needs to get along with the government. God's it. But see, she has trouble because she has religion. Like 99% of Christians are full of religion. They got their ideas, and not what the Bible says. If we follow what most of Christianity believes, nobody would go to hell. Because if you love, you'd never send somebody off to hell. You'd never put them in a lake of fire for eternity. You'd never do that. Because that's not what God's love. That's not the way it works. God loves everybody, no matter what. But that don't mean he rewards everybody. Love doesn't reward. God's love doesn't reward everyone. He loves them. How does he love them? Everybody has the same opportunity. Everybody can be offered the same covenant. Everybody can be offered God's love. But he loves you so much that he will not overtake your decision of what you want. That's love. See, sometimes we just got to let people go. See, we're dealing with covenant and God's covenant. If we don't understand how covenant works, if we don't understand these things, then this becomes some kind of foreign, you know, stuff to us. And we end up taking what our society gives us and we work it in. That's why people, oh, you know, we have our ethnic groups. It's terrible. The Bible is my ethnicity. This is it. I don't care what the rest of anybody else believes on the subject. I don't care how their culture goes. If I fit this to culture, it changes. It's not the same book. We need to understand this concerning salvation, concerning faith. Because men and women can live such blessed lives if they understand the power of this covenant, that why God did it. It's a phenomenal love. But this love is based on because God made you like he is. You were created in his likeness and his image. You have a will. You can make your own decisions. You have that. And this is what we have to decide what we do. When we come to Jesus Christ, we got to decide if I want the lordship of my life or I will give my lordship to him. Adam came to a place to decide where he was going to lay his authority. It was either going to be to God or it was going to be to Lucifer. Am I going to do it because, you know, that tree, you know, God don't know as much as he thought he does. So I'm gonna listen to that dude that's operating in that snake, man. That's what I'm gonna do. But see, he had the authority. He picked a Lord. This is why when we get saved, we're to confess Jesus is Lord. We are changing lordships. This is a huge thing because it is the submission. This covenant works under his lordship. Really, it's the greatest of the blessing works under submitting to his covenant. Adam didn't submit to the one thing he was told to do. He didn't submit to that. And the problem it caused. This is why is submission to the will of God. This is why we need to decide. You know, we can submit to God, especially on the basis of our knowledge. This is why you and I want to learn and to grow up. We want to grow up spiritually. The more you and I grow spiritually, the more we can submit to the lordship of God. And the more I can submit to that lordship, the more blessing I can step into. So this is why we do it. We're not doing this because he ain't going to like us. Heaven's going to be full of Christians who never submitted themselves to him, really. They never did. And they get to heaven, they're shocked. They're going to find out, you know, he's Lord. He didn't lie when he said, you don't be judged by your works. You didn't do nothing. They're going to be shocked. Oh, well, they told us, you know, that we get to heaven and all this night, and we're going to have everything, and we're going to... No, some people are going to have more than others. Well, what good's judgment if everybody gets the same? You know? See, people, this is why we don't understand covenant. It's like here on the earth. It's like on earth. What is it that you want? I mean, sit down with yourself and decide this. Most people have not decided what they really want in life. They go along and they say, yeah, I like more of this, that. We have to decide, what's going to lie as my importance in life? What am I going to do? You know? What am I going to use my time to go after? What am I? That's all these things we determine we want to do. You know, do I want to become real spiritual or I don't? Do I want to know God more or don't I? You know, we make those decisions. You know, you guys make those decisions. You made them. But there's people who don't. But I'll guarantee you, when they get in trouble, they want you to bail them out. That's what it always comes to. They're always looking for somebody while they don't spend their time. They want the blessing of things. And we need to understand this. This is why you want to grow up. You can get a hold of supernatural things that cannot be getting a hold of any other way. They can't be getting a hold of. See, many people are trying to get a hold of things they are neither qualified for, even as a Christian, they're not qualified to get a hold of. They can't do it. They decide they're not taking the time or what the development they need, you know. It's just like, you know, you don't go through, you know, I made it through grade school, so I'm a doctor. I'm going to be a doctor now. And I just, you know, this is the way people, where did all this come from? But you have to meet certain qualifications to do things. Where did all this come from? Well, it didn't come from the devil. The devil's always trying to get people not to do nothing. You know, just, you know, came from God. How does this end, man, that, you know, this is why, like socialism, communism, that never works. Why? Because it's about the lazy person ends up with what the person who works. It can't work like that. It's demonic. And so, another, because it never has a covenant that works. It's not covenanted with anybody to perform anything. You can't. God's interested in you getting ahead, not staying at a level. See, God's covenant is always progressive. It's always about more reward. You can go further. You can go deeper. You can gain more. You can gain more knowledge. You can gain more understanding. And so we need that. You know, we need to learn to be motivated by that concerning these covenants. And as we look at these covenants, there's blessings that come to this covenant because we are in this covenant. You need to know that. One of the things is when I found out the covenant that I was in, that the good things that were in this covenant, these phenomenal things. Now, one of the first things that I got into was the areas of healing because I hated sickness. I hated to be sick. I just can't believe today how much people just, they talk about, they go to the doctor a lot, but most people do nothing about their own health. They don't do a thing about it. They're waiting for a doctor to take over, and, you know, I just go and I run to the doctor. I keep doing the same dumb things that are causing me problems, but I go, you know, give me a medicine, you know, you take care of me and do this, just to me. I don't like to be sick. I don't enjoy pain. I don't enjoy those things. I don't like them. And so I just decided that's something I don't, and I found out about the healing covenant. I said, I want to understand this thing because I don't want to have this no more. I want to find out. You know, does this stuff, I want to see, does this work? It's God's Word. What does God's Word say? To begin to look at what God has offered me, finding out. I found out it worked. I thought, man, this is a good deal. I like this thing. You know? And found out about, you know, finances. Well, I sure need some of those. I live in this earth. You know, you have to have it. If you don't, things can get pretty tough down here. And so I decided, well, you know, I want to learn about this stuff. Does this stuff work down here? God's given it. Well, I found it a covenant. God had a plan in his covenant that I'd have it good down here. That was his plan. So what I did is to find out about it. Found out about that. Turn around, start walking in it. Start doing it. And I enjoy that. I like the fact. I like the fact that I don't have to worry about money. I don't have to, you know, all that. Don't have to, I'm not concerned about those things. You know, the world, all the nut stuff's going on. They don't know if tomorrow it's going to collapse or it's not going to collapse. They're into that stuff all the time. I'm so glad I'm over that. We don't have to play those things and play those games. We don't have to be there. And see, when you find these things out, but you have to find out, how and where do you want to walk? How far do you want to go? I'll just tell you this. It don't just happen to you. And it won't. It won't just work for you because you're a Christian. Although it is there for you. It's there. It has been given to you, but have you received it by faith? See, it isn't received because you know it's there, it's going to happen. No, you have to know how to take a hold of it. Faith is your hand that takes things. If you can't take it, you can't have it. You got to be able to grasp. You know, naturally, if I hand you something, here, you take this, what are you going to have to do? You're going to have to take something and take a hold of it. I just want to let you know about, I've learned this in faith. I know when my faith takes a hold of something, when I got it, it's mine. I got it now. It belongs to me. See, I learned this about the promises of God. All the promises of God are yes and amen. In other words, is this, they're already given. I must receive them. I don't ask him to give them to me. He's already done that. They already belong to you. They're in the covenant. If you have to ask for them, then they're not in the covenant. We don't ask like he hasn't given them. We ask like he has. Say, thank you, Lord. I want to thank you for giving me healing. I am so glad. Lord God, that I'm healed. I am so glad that you gave that to me. And I just receive it right now. Thanks. Thank you. I'm so glad to be healed. See, you don't hear people talk like that much. No, we're asked. Ask God to be healed. You say, well, ask the person. Well, are you healed? Well, I'm still feeling bad. My leg's still bad. People will tell you what's wrong with them. They'll tell you those things. You know what? I just tell people, praise God, I believe I'm healed. I just, you know, if they don't understand it, I don't care. I'm going to talk what God said to talk, but I'm doing covenant talk. I am not talking so everybody else, because I know stupid people don't understand smart talk. So I am not going to try, and I ain't got 15 hours to teach them in faith to hear me say what they want me to say. I know. Thank God I'm healed. Hallelujah. I'm so glad I'm well. Glory to God. See, my body's saying, well, I don't feel all right. I don't care what my body says. Hallelujah. I'm healed. Praise God. It will show up. It has to. Amen. It has to show up in my body. See, in getting that, those thoughts, it's the same thing. We learn about finances. We learn the same things. We learn to walk in those things. We learn to say those things. About your own salvation. How do you talk about your salvation? Who and what you are? What you talk about? What you say about yourself? It isn't trying to make happy thoughts. Happy thoughts will get unhappy quick with circumstances. It's learning faith talk. You're in the world. Jesus Christ himself said that you're in the world, and in the world there's what? Tribulation. There's trouble. So you know what? You're going to see trouble. Trouble will come knocking on your door. This is what's going to happen. You're in this world. But he said, I've overcome it. So what do I talk like? It's overcome. Hallelujah. I see trouble. I feel trouble knocking on my door. And you know what? I'm overcome. Hallelujah. Thank God I've overcome in the name of... He said, in Christ Jesus, I've overcome. And see, I'm in him. He's in me. My God, you can't beat this team. Hallelujah. But see, we need to understand this. This is about covenant. Covenant has a way that it talks. What did we find out if we went over to Romans and read about Abraham? What was Abraham's talk? It says he didn't consider his body. and the deadness of Sarah's womb. He didn't consider that. Well, if he didn't consider it, he didn't talk about that, did he? If you're talking about your problems, you've done considered them. So you need to think about that. Now, that problem does exist, but I want to tell you what I'm going to talk about. And then you talk about covenant talk. Covenant talk is faith talk. It is talking like you have something and you are something that doesn't seem naturally, but the covenant says you are. The covenant says you are, so therefore, that's God's covenant. In a sense, we listen to covenants in this earth. People have things, we have beliefs in this earth. And their covenant does. We talk about and follow after things and say after things that the world finds out. You know, the world. We did a study and we found out that most people, they have this problem here. Sure, you went and took all these unbelievers and, but don't put me in that class. I'm not in that class of those unbelievers. And, you know, so, you know, 9 out of 10 have this problem. Say, you sure don't know me. Because I don't have that problem. I ain't even in their class. I'm in a different class. We need to understand, are we really a different race in this earth? Do you really believe that? Christianity don't really believe that. They don't really believe they're a different race here. We just see ourselves as what we are here. You can see by what people talk and do and say, you know, we're tied to this earth. We don't see ourselves in line of what we really are. See, I'm sorry, you know. You can't poll me like everybody else. You can't do studies on me like you do everybody else. You can't do that. Because I have faith working. These other ones don't. See, we need to understand. We're dealing with people. You can't take non-faith people and people with faith. Who's going to get out of what? Who's going to have problems? See, we put ourselves in these classes ourselves. We make like everyone. I'm not. I'm a God covenant person in the earth. I'm not of this world. I operate through a system that does not, it's not of this world. Satan is the God of this world. So if I love this world, then Satan's my Lord. I'm not of this world.
That's right.
Satan is the God of this world. The Bible says so. My covenant says that Satan's the god of this world, so therefore, he's the god of this world system, which I am not part of. That's why Jesus said, in the world, there's tribulation. In this world system where Satan dwells, it's a trouble place. But you guys, don't worry about it. I've overcome it for you. Hallelujah. So, should you and I be stressed in the things that the world is and everything? No, we shouldn't be. Why? Because we are not of this system. Isn't it a shame that Christians, you know, live in this world and this system of this world dominates them and they don't know the whole time. They don't understand the whole time. Jesus overcome all this stuff. They don't know it. They don't know about the covenant. All they find is, yeah, I get born again and I'm saved and I'm just down here and I'm just trudging through and trying to make it, you know, and I'm just doing. But they don't have knowledge of who they are and what they are. They don't have knowledge. I always wonder people say, Jesus said, overcome the world. I hear that used all the time in sermons. Jesus overcome. And I thought, well, when are you going to start believing this stuff? He's overcome these things for us. The world system's already overcome. The law's free. The law is fulfilled and I am redeemed from its curse. You have been redeemed from its curse. Why? The law for you has been fulfilled. This is covenant. This is God's covenant. It's His words to you, and they stand true. See, whether we operate in it or not, and we get the blessing of it, it isn't because God hasn't offered. It's how we think. It's how we think. Is this book true? Back over in Matthew in the 5th chapter, verse 18 says, for surely I say to you, till heaven and earth passes away, one jot or one tittle will be by no means pass away from the law till all is fulfilled. Whoever therefore breaks one of these of the least of the commandments and teaches men so shall be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But listen to this, but whoever does the teachings of them, he shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. Now listen to this verse. This clears things up. cause you to think, oh my God, I got to walk perfect. See, he's dealing with people in the law. And then he says this, for I say to you that unless your righteousness exceeds the righteousness of the scribes and the Pharisees, you will by no means enter the kingdom of heaven. What was their righteousness? It was the law. They wouldn't accept Christ. They wouldn't accept him. They followed the law. My righteousness, I'm in the kingdom of heaven, and you're in the kingdom of heaven because your righteousness has exceeded theirs. You are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. See, righteousness, and how'd you get it? By faith. They are still trying to get it by their works. If I do good works, I do them because of faith in Christ, not to be saved. I can't be saved by them. I can never do good enough to be saved. I don't care if I did everything perfect from now to this day, till the time I left this earth, and I leave this place. I still cannot be saved based upon my works. I am saved specifically by faith in Christ Jesus. In October 31st is Reformation Day. That was the day that John Luther took his 95 thesis and put it on the wall of the Catholic Church and had it on there that salvation was by faith alone and not by works. See, man was doing nothing but living. And it's amazing. He got that revelation, and today, it's amazing. After all of this, and even among people talk about righteousness by works, and men are still judging things by their works than rather by their faith of who I am, what I am. Faith is a wonderful thing. Our righteousness has exceeded their righteousness. You can never get a greater righteousness than by faith. It cannot be had. It is never. I mean, the fact that the scripture says there's none righteous, no, not one. There's nobody righteous. Everybody messed up. So we're not right. So we needed one. And understand this as we deal with the areas of covenant. We're talking about covenant. Covenant in covenant is about a righteousness, and about that righteousness that we walk by faith in. You've got to begin to see that, understand that, because no matter what if we want to move a God, we can't get on the legalism road to have it. See, most people are looking for, you know, something, you know, that if people just get right, then we'll have a move of God and all this kind of stuff. No, we need God to move so man can start acting right. We're trying to do everything in reverse. We're trying to get things, if we get, you know, it's just like people say, well, you know, God can't move till we get this going and we get that going. And I've said this to ministers already. I've listened to them say it. They say, you know, well, you know, if the church don't get right, Jesus can't come back. I said, well, then why don't we just start keep living in sin and he'll never come back? We'll put an end to that. We have such crazy doctrine said, and people buy it. I almost know no minister who actually believes that Jesus actually knows when he's coming back. They take a statement he made in the earth. He said, I didn't know. He was a man. He was talking as a man there. He wasn't talking as God. If he don't know today, he's not God, and he's not operating as God. He don't know everything. You don't think he knows when it's going to end? Well, if we don't start doing everything right, he's holding off because he can't come back because we're not doing everything right. Well, he'd have never been able to do anything. My God. How could he had ever got Israel to bring the Messiah in as crazy as they were? Look how nuts they were when the Messiah came. Did the Messiah not come because Israel didn't get right? If I don't walk right and do right, he'll show up anyhow. Why? Righteousness by works. God can only move if I do everything. God will step on Ed's head to walk to somebody who's righteous. That's right. Somebody who's walking in faith, Ed, if you're stupid enough to get in my way, I'll step on you. You know, I'm going to get to the guy who's right. We need to get in our thoughts and get in our right thinking about these things. Because we have so much teaching that is really legalism. and thoughts. We have both sides taught. Oh, Jesus could come back at any time. And the same minister then says, well, until we get all these things right, he can't come back. Well, then therefore we know he ain't coming back at any time. He can't come back today because we ain't got it right. Are we going to keep listening to this nonsense? Nobody stops and says, hey, that ain't right. See, I learned if I say it ain't right, they get mad at me. They don't like it. Because they love their religion. They love their religious talk. It's stuff that's passed on. It's not a faith. It doesn't encourage faith. It's unbelief. And we talk these things, and it's like, my God's big. He knows everything. If he can't figure out when to come back, how's he going to help it? What's he going to do for this? I need help. I need a God that's brilliant. Because I want things that require brilliant people to get for me. And God's brilliant. And he can get them for me. He can do things for me that no other man can do. All my life, you know, they've been promising things about, oh, how people are going to live longer. My words, right now, in the United States, people are living less long than what they did. You know, back before COVID, people were living longer. Now, today, we're 6 years behind Europe. Europeans are living 6 years longer than Americans. And Americans spend so much more money than they do on health care. But, hey, that's our belief. Our belief is our savior is our health care system. And it's working great. I thank God what they could do, because there'd be a lot more dead people if they couldn't do what they can. But we have somebody we can put faith in, and you can trust him. He's made statements in his concerning his covenant for you. It's not for him. He's given you his righteousness so you can come before him and you can stand before him without any kind of shame. If you've missed it, you can confess your sin. He cleanses you from every stupid thing you did. He'll say, that's gone now. Let's go on. Nothing happened. You're as good as you were when you started off. You're the newborn baby. Any Christian can literally step into heaven. The day when we go, can step into heaven as completely sinless if they understand faith. Where God will have nothing against them. That's one thing as the Lord has dealt with me on the fact of over the years of getting people ready to go. It isn't a fact that they weren't going. I wasn't getting ready so they weren't going to make it. It's so when they go, they got things cleared up before God. So when they get there, there ain't a bunch of marks against them. You repent, he'll forgive you anything. See, we don't understand these things. We're still trying to get into heaven by works. We don't understand what this is about. God desires us to repent. Well, it's his faith thing. Why? He's a rewarder. He's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. He's a rewarder. He's a rewarder. That's all he's working on. He's working a reward. He don't want anybody going into the gates of heaven having stuff against them. Why? Because he wants to reward. That's the nature of his covenant. That's God's nature, is reward. That's what he is. God's nature is to give. God's nature is to bless. That's what he is. He couldn't have any other kind of covenant. There couldn't be one. He's going to give the reward to those who don't follow him and walk with him. There's reward. There's payment for everything. He gives everybody what they wanted. They deserve. They're going, hey, I don't want to walk with you. I don't want to follow you. Okay. This is the reward of that. Man chooses his reward, not God. Man chooses. And it's so great. God told us, 1 John 1:9, everybody holds that just the thing here. I'm going to tell you, we can leave this earth clear. If we mess up, confess our sin. If I did wrong, confess it. You know what? He forgets it all. He will never bring it up to you again. You don't go to heaven and there's a file cabinet with that in. Only legalism has that. Legalism has file cabinets that everything that you did, every wrong, good, bad, ugly, if you repented and you asked God to forgive you, God is the greatest forgetter that there ever was. He's a, you know, somebody that knows everything that can forget things like he, that's amazing. It is a phenomenal thing.
He's wonderful. So let's just get ourselves. We're going to walk and look at things at covenant. Covenants in the Bible and how they were. Because when you understand, when you really understand the covenant thing, God covenant will inspire faith. That's what will inspire you to. It'll always inspire you to faith. Because of what he promises. Understand what he says. Get within yourself this basic truth. You are righteous by faith. You have the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. It's something that was given to you that you have. You don't lose that. You don't lose that. You have that. That's what you have. You're righteous. And so, I'm righteous. Why? By faith. It's not by works. It wasn't an earned thing. So if it's not earned, what would you have to do to keep it? See, people act like, well, you know, I lost my righteousness. Well, where'd you drop it at? You lose your wallet? And it's like, I lost my credit card. I'm sorry, I can't lose my righteousness. I got it. Get yourself into that thing of understanding. I can't lose it because I didn't earn it to begin with. It was given to me. I am as righteous as God. I say that to God times when I talk to the Lord. I tell him, I thank God, I can hang out with you. I'm just as righteous as you are. I'm just as right. You made me that way. And I tell him how phenomenal that is. You made me as righteous just on the basis I accepted Jesus. And I can go hang out with God? See, that doesn't, you know, there's nothing from a natural mind that kind of stuff makes sense. And that's why people don't go there, because they see this great God. They cannot see themselves in his image. They can't see him. And they can't, because why? They keep judging themselves by their works rather than their righteousness. They measure themselves against the natural instead of against the glory that was given to them. Hallelujah. Always remember that you're righteous. Righteousness will always keep you running to God, not away from him. Even when you make a mistake, you'll always run to God. You won't go feel ashamed. Sin may be shame on us, but righteousness will draw you to his throne.
Amen.
And righteousness will always give you boldness to stand up and say, Lord, yes, I missed it. But I know you'll cleanse me. I know you will. That's what it does. Why? Because righteousness is in grace, and grace is God's ability working on your behalf. That's why Paul said, when I'm weak, that's when I'm strong. Hallelujah. Walk in that strength. Father, we just want to thank you tonight. Thank you, Lord God, for the great wisdom of your word. It is a most phenomenal thing. God, I just pray that you just keep opening it up to us. Lord God, your glory and your greatness, the soundness of your word, the greatness of your covenant, hallelujah. Father God, Father, we want such a strength and boldness of faith. Lord God, that we have courage in every instance and everything that would ever happen. Lord God, that we're a people that will always stand up, hallelujah. That we won't bow to the ways of the sin and of the world, but we'll stand up, hallelujah. Lord God, and declare the glory that you have put in us through Christ Jesus. Lord, the fact you made us righteousness. God, tonight, we're in your presence, not based upon any wonderful thing. We don't have to do any wonderful thing. We just come by faith in Christ Jesus, and you welcome us in. Hallelujah. You respond to us quickly because of faith in Christ Jesus. And I just want to thank you, Lord God. I thank you, Father God, that you hear our prayers. You respond to them, Lord God, quickly in the name of Jesus. Lord God, we call on you and you answer. Hallelujah. And Father, we just want to let you know how much we appreciate, hallelujah, what you've done for us. And Lord God, we're going to walk and live like it's true. We're not going to walk by our feelings or what man says. We heard your words. And oh, how gracious and wonderful they are. And we're just going to believe them and walk in them in Jesus' name. Amen.